Settler Files.
Welcome back to the Settler Files, and joining me in the studio at the moment is Keith Flynn, and Keith's here to present our weekly segment of Relationship Matters. G'day, Keith.
G'day, Murray. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Vision and values. What are values?
The values are what is important to us.
Right.
So if you could think of it like what do we value as individuals
uh-huh.
or what do we value like personally. Uh-huh. So they can be what I'll term context specific.
Okay.
So for example, there could be things around your home that are important to you. So you could probably rank them in order.
Uh-huh.
There could be things in your relationship that are important to you. There could be things in your life that are important to you. So you could have overall values that are really important.
I've always sort of thought of values as something a little bit intangible. So, for example, I could value my car. You know, I mean, I think that's important to me and I need it to get around. But that's a tangible thing, isn't it? But values as ascribed to things like relationships, that's a bit different. Would you agree?
I guess the way that I look at it is perhaps think of values as having priorities.
Okay.
Values are what we use to as part of the decision-making process.
Okay.
So for example, if someone values their family highly, so I'll just say there's career,
mm-hmm.
there's family, there's spirituality, let's mm-hmm. say, just giving three as an example. If one of your children had an accident at school or was very, very sick, then most parents would actually drop anything that they were doing.
Fair call, yes.
Because they certainly value their children's lives, their children's health, and being with the children more important than being at work.
Mm. Yep.
So. With values, we can actually, if we keep them, just keep them to a few, they can help guide us. And if we understand our decision making process,
Okay, so values are something that people have. Who judges whether or not those values are worthy? Is that something that can be judged, or is it different for everyone?
It's different for everyone. Everyone has their own internal value sets.
Mm.
So, you know, what's important for you, like in discussions, you're talking about building an aeroplane.
Mm-hmm.
So that's obviously important enough for you to put time into it.
Yes.
It's not important to me.
Okay. Yeah, fair call. Okay.
Yeah. So what's important for me in my spare time or leisure time, like, for example, over the weekend, I decided that I actually needed to upgrade my computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got one that's about 10 years old, and it's been going along quite nicely. Mm. But let's just talk about that. You know how, well, I rely on my computer, my laptop. If it doesn't work, I am distressed.
Yes, yes. Yeah, okay.
So I place a high value on having my computer working properly.
Yes.
And some people don't value backups on their computer except when it goes wrong, and then they could lose everything.
I'm looking at you, Despine Sattler. Yeah, I understand.
So I bought this new laptop, and first thing I thought, well, I actually need to transfer the data. So I spent a lot of time over the weekend sorting out, backing up, tidying up my old computer, getting ready to bring this data across to the new computer, because I value that the computer and the data is part of my business and part of my life.
Mm, okay. So perhaps thinking more about the sorts of values we ascribe to relationships, they are a little more intangible, esoteric, if you like. For example, people, for example, put a great deal of value on fidelity, don't they? Most people do.
Unless you're in an open relationship.
Well, yeah, that's probably something that I'm not really qualified to talk about or even want to think about. But, no, it's true, isn't it? Most people would ascribe...
Correct.
Fidelity is one of the most important things. So then moving down, other values that we could talk about might be the fact that your partner, for example, does changes the sheets on the bed every week or every 3 days or whatever. But those that they're values that are more physical as opposed to sort of spiritual or intangible things like putting a value on fidelity.
Yeah, I think I guess the way that I use the word values is identifying them rather than giving them a quantity amount.
Okay.
Right. So it's not like putting a like generally when we hear the word value we think of dollar amount.
Yes.
You know, you can value a car or value a house. And in a lot of respects it's also very subjective.
Mm.
Because the value of a car or a house is only is determined by the buyer.
Yes. A fair call. Yep.
Yep. So you know, for example, you could have a lovely Ferrari.
Mm.
If it's smashed up, it's not going to have the same value as one that's pristine.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a Ford GTHO or GTHO
Phase three,
I think it was.
Throw money at it, get it. It's a good investment.
Yeah, $1 million.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quite right.
And yet, it's just a car with four wheels. Except this one just happened to be in immaculate condition, original condition. So people who collectors value that highly.
Mm.
So when I talk about values, you're sort of right, like fidelity can be a value. Trust could be a value. Integrity. Family.
Yeah.
Career.
Yep.
Financial security.
Yep.
And again, that's going to mean different things to different people.
Mm.
Okay. So in one of the models that I work with, we've mentioned it earlier, where I talk about a head and heart person.
Mm.
Generally, the priorities of a head person are career first. They generally look for financial security.
Right.
Then their hobbies are second. Then their family is third. And generally, their partner and mistress is last.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I find that extraordinary.
And for the heart-centered person...
Mm-hmm.
Their highest is family. Their second is their highest is their partner and family. Their highest is their partner. Second is family and children.
Mm.
Then hobbies and then career.
Okay.
So they're actually slightly different, but they're actually opposite of each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in a simple case. If you have two people that don't understand that, you know, like for example, heart-centered is they're looking after the family.
Yep.
And the head-centered's out there making the money and earning the money, so they feel that they are doing what is most important to them.
Mm.
And then when, say, let's say the head-centered person has an affair,
mm-hmm.
that is completely devastating to the heart-centered because that's their most important priority.
Mm. Okay.
But remember, this is not the most important priority of the head-centered.
No.
So that's where the same thing can be viewed by two different people.
Okay.
And one of the things that can happen in that case is that with the head-centered, because they are so family-oriented, they hang on to the marriage, they hang on to the relationship. It can be devastating for them, but because they want to keep the family together, they can accept that. It's very painful, though.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
We're talking to Keith Flynn, a relationship expert, on our segment called Relationship Files, The Relationship Files. And Keith, has it been your experience that people's values change with time?
They do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay. So someone who is a head person, perhaps in their younger days, gradually evolves into a heart person? Can that happen?
Generally, it doesn't happen that way. Generally, we have our primary, primary inclination. So generally, a head person is always a head person, but what they do is they can learn more heart characteristics.
Right.
So, for example, I'm a head person,
mm-hmm.
and my career was in IT.
Mm-hmm.
My career now is in relationship. So I've developed the heart side.
Okay.
So I understand people better. I'm more sensitive to people.
Okay.
but I still have a lot of the head tendencies.
Yep, yep. So your value system shifts in its priorities, if you like. Is that what you're saying there?
It can do.
Mm-hmm.
See, if I just talk about myself personally, because my partner and I went through this exercise over the weekend.
Mm.
So in terms of my overall life and the way I live, freedom is my highest value. This is why I'm working for myself and not for someone else.
Okay.
So freedom, family is extremely important to me. Even though, like, I don't see my children, if they were to call up and they needed me, I'd be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom to me is also like financial freedom, the freedom to mm-hmm. express myself, the freedom to do anything, okay. be anywhere I want. So again, yep. that's a driver for me.
Mm.
Now, that may conflict a little bit in relationships
mm-hmm.
because in relationships there has to be some freedom given up.
Mm.
You know, I can't have total freedom in my relationship.
No, I understand that.
Except it's still a very high value for me.
Mm-hmm.
It, in fact, it's the highest value I've got.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, say, again, my life, personal development and growth is important to me.
Okay.
So I attend personal development, personal growth workshops. In one of my relationships, that was an extremely low value of my partner. In fact, she didn't value it, and that caused conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So in relationships, a lot of conflict comes when you have values not aligned.
Okay.
So for her, when I went to an event here in Perth, she was hoping that I'd get it out of my system.
wrong.
Exactly.
Even I know that. Yeah. As klutz as I am, I know that.
Yeah, and all I did is I went along to that and signed up for a whole lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
And to her, you know, that was like relationship over. This was the one that we
yeah.
separated three times and got back mm. together twice only. So,
Keith, in a situation where you have a life-changing event, that might be the loss of someone, loss of a job, or loss of career or something like
yeah.
that, or a divorce or something. Do people tend to reassess their values?
They generally do.
Do they?
Yeah. Because values are what is important to me.
Yes.
So, I can just talk for myself. When I was married, being a head-centered person, the career and creating the financial stability for my family was the most important thing for me.
Mm.
To the point where I neglected my family.
Mm.
Now, when I lost my family,
I think there's a lot of people would be in that boat that you've just spoken about.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so when I lost my family, that's when I reevaluated my life.
Okay.
To the extent that I actually dropped, you know, the career
yep.
down and put personal development up.
Mm.
So I became more focused on developing myself and also being more sensitive to my family
mm.
than I was when I was married.
Okay.
So I changed my values because of that, as okay. you say, life-changing event.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is a life-changing event when something like that happens, isn't mm. it? We were going to talk a bit about vision as well, and obviously vision is our vision for the future.
Mm.
Does that happen in terms of your values as well? And in other words, what I'm saying is you have a vision for the future that is tied to your value system.
Okay, great question. The way that I like to distinguish the two is if you think about vision as being a destination.
Okay.
So if I use like a GPS example,
yeah,
then you plug into the GPS or plug into your phone nowadays, the destination of where you want to go. So you get very, very clear on where you want to go. The values are your compass. The values okay. are what guide you to your vision.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that keep you on track. So the values are how we operate in our life, the decisions that we make and how mm-hmm. we make those decisions are based upon what we value,
mm-hmm.
how we spend our time. The most important thing we've got is our time. So if you want to look at what's really important to somebody, you look at where they spend their time. Not what they say, because that's another thing. They may say that money's important, but then you find them at home watching TV.
Yes,
so
yeah, of course.
So if they talk about something, that may be what they want or what they think they value.
Yeah.
But you actually look at what someone is actually doing with their time.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that when you have a vision and you're on your way to accomplishing that vision, you are guided by your values.
Correct.
Okay. So to put an example on that, excuse me, you desperately want a house, but you know that to get there you have to work hard and save, and you just simply, your values will not allow you to go and rob a bank to get the necessary money.
Well, unless robbing a bank was a high value.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. If for example, integrity and honesty and good work ethic, if you're brought up with those values, then you'll go out and you'll apply those values, and you might look for well-paying jobs, you might look for promotions, you might be doing everything you can to go and own your own home.
Mm.
But however, if you were brought up in, let's say, a less in a family that had different values, and that it was okay to rob or steal, well, you might be using those values to achieve the same goal.
Okay. So yes. So they're almost inextricable, aren't they? The two. And of course that also applies in relationships when you're interacting with your partner.
Exactly.
And that's a great cause of conflict in some relationships, isn't it?
Virtually most of the challenges in relationships are value-based.
Mm. So when you hear somebody – go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you there.
Yeah, at that moment, I just thought back, and we were having a brief conversation about you building an aeroplane.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the comment that if you're out building your aeroplane over Easter, that probably wouldn't have gone down well with your wife.
No, definitely not.
So she valued something different than you.
Mm.
So you recognized what was important for her over Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you've identified what was important.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So being in a cause of great conflict, or can be a cause of great conflict. You touched on the affair thing a little bit earlier.
Mm.
So when you hear somebody, and it's usually a guy that says this, not a girl, or a woman, man. A man says this, he said, oh, well, look, I had an affair, but it didn't mean anything.
Mm.
As if to say, well, why are you making such a fuss? My value system says that I can do that and it means nothing.
Mm.
And yet the woman says, well, that's fidelity, and you just completely crossed the line there.
Exactly. So her value of fidelity is different than his.
Okay. But it's not a justification. How do you resolve that conflict?
It's not a justification. To me, what it is is, again, two people not understanding the language of the other person.
Okay.
In other words, they're not understanding what is important and what can be a deal breaker for the other person and what it actually means to them.
Mm. Okay.
I had friends that the wife actually had the affair.
Mm.
And the highest value of the husband was trust. It actually wasn't fidelity, it was trust.
Okay.
And what she'd done is broken the trust. And that was actually couldn't reconcile it between the two because trust was broken.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, if I briefly talk about the affairs, with the head-centered person, they tend to compartmentalize. Now, men and women can be both head-centered, so it's not just males. There are females out there like this as well. So the men can compartmentalize, and typically with the head-centered type person, what they actually do is they disassociate love and sex.
Okay.
So in their world, the family can be the most important thing, and they're doing everything for the family. So if they have an affair, it's not because they don't love the family and he doesn't love the wife. It's just sex to him.
Okay.
Right. So now for the wife, if she's heart-centered, sex and love are the same thing because that is her connection. Yet he is not understanding that.
Mm-hmm.
In his world, he sees there is no problem. And probably if she had an affair, he would think that.
Mm. Okay. That's an interesting perspective on it.
Yeah. So it's just looking at from inside his world and inside her world. It's just that they don't understand the impact on each other.
Mm. So do people, the couples, make a lot of assumptions about that sort of value system?
Mm.
So you should have known that's what it meant to me, and therefore you are a very bad person for not understanding that.
Yeah, that's the blame game.
But, I mean, that's how the conflict starts,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, and okay, yeah, and that's simply people projecting onto the other person their own values.
Okay.
In other words, you know, they're looking out through their filters, through their glasses, onto the world and saying, well, I expect other people to think and feel the way I do.
Right. Okay. And they not only do they expect but that of their partner, but they assume that that's what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
They make the assumption that that person, because they're together and because they're husband and wife or committed partners, that they will hold the same set of values as they do without actually ever having asked.
Or finding out what it means. Because someone can say, look, we both value love, but what does love mean to you and what does love mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
Like we briefly touched on the five love languages a while ago.
Mm.
So for a person where physical touch is really important, that's what their meaning of love can be.
Okay.
Words of affirmation, hearing those words, I love you.
Mm.
Right. So it's like going beneath the surface and asking that question, what does X mean to you? What
does
love mean to you? What does fidelity mean to you?
And is that something that you recommend with your clients when you're talking to them, that you establish the values system of both parties or both partners? You tell them to establish it?
Well, we start with the individual.
Okay.
So generally I don't work with couples. Generally I work with
individuals. Okay. Right.
And because in a lot of couples, it's one person in the relationship that has a more of a vested interest in making the relationship work. So I work with that person. So then looking at what their values are, what's important to them, and getting them to see them, because sometimes it's not easy to actually just discern those, because a lot of people don't sit down and just take that time to work out what is really important to them.
Mm.
And also working out what's important for their vision, what's their vision of their life. A lot of people can tell you what they don't want, but are not very clear on actually what they do want, where they want to be in 5 years and 10 years, where they want to be in retirement.
Mm.
So that's a piece of work that I do just to get really clear on you know what it is. And I mean, in my workshops I've actually got an exercise, we actually spend a day on this, so we go into a lot of details.
That's a obviously very important part of the whole process, isn't it?
Exactly, because again, as I mentioned earlier, we can look at a different context of life. What are your values and vision for your overall life, and then break that down, like in the wheel of life, break it down into sections. Could be career, wealth, spirituality, relationships, you know, you can break those down a little bit further if you want to.
Mm.
But in each of those areas, things will be important.
Okay. So when you've established your belief, sorry, not your belief systems, your value systems, is there room for compromise in there? I mean, I guess that if your partner has a set of values that are different to yours, you have to actually accept that and compromise, or that's goodbye.
Yeah, first of all, it's like understanding what is important to the partner. So with my partner, what's extremely important is integrity. She gets really upset when people are out of integrity, when people are not their word.
Okay, yeah.
So sometimes I'm not my word. Sometimes I'll be a bit late.
Yeah.
But what I've learned is, and again, Monday night was our date night. And normally I go dancing on a Sunday, but this weekend it was raining, so it was put off to Monday night. Now, I'm going dancing, date night.
Well, I hope you didn't dwell on that too long.
So,
because
I'd said date night, it was date night. I had no choice because I have to be my word, because that's important to her. That's important to our relationship.
Fair enough. Yep, I understand that.
Yeah.
And so what about the vision? I mean, do couples need to have a similar vision for it to work properly, or can you have different visions so long as you're all sort of going in the general direction of the same?
Okay. Well, I break that down into three areas. So there's, in a relationship, there's you, there's me,
yep,
and the relationship.
Yep.
So each individual have a vision. So for example, I have a vision for my business and my life.
Mm-hmm.
My partner has a vision for her life as well. And when we went through this exercise, I learned what that vision was. She has a big vision for something very, very specific,
mm,
which I hadn't heard, but I asked the question and I learned what that was.
Mm.
Now, because I know that, I can now say, well, okay, let's look at the vision for the relationship. And in there, how can we support each other in our own individual visions?
Okay.
So her vision, for example, may need finances. So that's, yes, one way that I could support it.
Okay.
Emotional support. It could need physical support. But because I know her vision, I can support her vision.
Okay.
And we have a vision for our relationship.
Mm.
So, and again, this will be a work in progress.
Mm.
So we went through this exercise and, you know, my partner rightly asked, well, what's it going to look like in 5 years and 10 years' time?
Mm.
So we'll go back and sort of rework it. So the idea is once we've got each other's vision where we want to head in life,
mm,
and we look at the relationship, the question to ask is how do we support each other to achieve our visions of what we want to do?
Okay.
How do we support the vision of our relationship?
Mm. And obviously over time that vision might evolve. So it's
absolutely
fairly important to do a bit of a how goes it from time to time, isn't it?
Absolutely. I would suggest it'd be at least an annual.
Mm.
I've got this simple philosophy that you know, we should run our run our relationships like a business.
Mm-mm.
And run our businesses like a relationship.
It's pretty good.
Because if you think about it, if you've got a, you know, if you've got a marriage, you've got assets.
Yep.
You've got income.
Yeah.
You've got expenses. You've got employees.
Mm.
You've got roles. You know, you've got a budget you're working to.
Mm.
You know, so a relationship can be treated like a business.
Mm.
And if it's treated with the respect of a business, then probably a lot more relationships would actually function a bit better.
Mm. Mm. We're talking with Keith Flynn about relationships. And Keith, so I guess what I'm taking from that is that you're a great advocate of continual renewal, if you like, of your understanding of what is important in the relationship, yeah, the vision that your partner has for that relationship, and basically if it's being treated like a business, well, how are we going with that?
Yeah.
Are we on track? Is there room for improvement? Can we change things? Can we revise things?
Exactly.
So exactly the sort of thing that you do in a business or should be doing in a business if it's going to flourish.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's just like a little bit of discipline, taking time out, you know, is the expression, to work on your business, not in your business.
Mm.
So
it's, yes, like, indeed, that's so important.
It's like stepping back and working on your relationship rather than being caught in your relationship.
And that's not easy to do sometimes, is it? You can get caught up being in it.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So interesting stuff. So it's so important that you actually set aside time to sit down and talk about just that,
mm,
instead of disguising it in all sorts of other ways that so many people are prone to do.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you use the talking stick when you do that?
Absolutely.
I guess it is important, otherwise you can get distracted, can't you?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, part of what we do is actually ask your partner to ask them what they think. I ask my partner to say, what do you think my values are?
Mm.
What do you think my vision is? So I want to check in, like with the talking stick exercise, to check in to say, well, do you really understand what's important to me?
Mm. Okay.
And do I really understand what's important to you?
It's really important stuff if your relationship is going to flourish and it is going to be a fulfilling and satisfying one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Keith, look, I know there are a lot of people that are keen to develop their relationship, maybe even repair it, maybe even just have a bit of a review, and you can help them do that, can't you?
Absolutely.
Where can they get? Where can people get hold of you?
Look, you can get hold of me either on my website, which is www.keithflynn.com.au. That's spelled K-E-I-T-H-F-L-Y-N-N.com.au.
Yep.
Or you can just call me on my mobile, which is 0418-101-902.
That's fantastic. And, of course, if you missed any of those, we'd be happy to redirect your inquiry to Keith from the Sattler Files. So all you have to do is jump on our Facebook page if all else fails. Keith, it's been fascinating as always. I really enjoy our segment. And thank you so much for coming in today and joining us and having a fairly good and frank discussion about relationships.
Thanks, Barry.
More on the Sattler Files very shortly.
This is the Sattler Files.